It's the Freedom Talk Show with Veronica.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Freedom Talk Show with Veronica. My name is Veronica Blaine. Today on the show, I am joined by the beautiful, beautiful Sharon Ademifon. Sharon, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Veronica. Thank you so much for having me on your show. And also, I will never forget your name because my mom, may her soul rest in perfect peace. Her name is Veronica.
Oh, yeah.
So already I won't forget your name.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Sharon. Veronica people are very calm and very peaceful people. So I'm sure your mom was one of those people. May she rest in peace.
Amen. Thank you.
So I want to do a little introduction of you before we begin. I'm not sure I'll do you justice. So anything I don't say, please feel free to fill it in. So Mrs. Sharon Ademifon is the creative director of Wona Wakes, a mother of three, a Christian, an entrepreneur, and above all, a positive and hardworking woman. Sharon, welcome to the show again.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so touched by your introduction.
I know you have a new business, and we'll get into that during the interview. I wanted to talk to you today because your Instagram page, I haven't met you in person. I'm from Ghana originally. You are from Nigeria, but still, we are family and one. But your Instagram page is so encouraging. I can come to your page if I'm looking for a word, and I see you in your Bible. I'm like, Sharon is in the word. Let me grab my word right now. You know, and I love the fact that you display your faith and your love for Jesus, and there is nothing hidden. And I haven't met you, but yet there is this connection. I think that is the connection that true believers have. You know, you don't know this person, but she's a Christian, and you can just connect like that. So how did this all begin? Your faith, were you born a Christian?
Well, to be honest with you, I feel that ultimately my parents probably went to church, but I don't think that they were not born again Christians, you know, when I was born. They were Christians, they acknowledged, they recognized God, they attended church, but it wasn't like a religious thing. You know, my mom grew up Catholic and my dad grew up cherubim and seraphim, you know, white garment.
Yeah.
And all that. And, you know, I think by the time they had gotten married, they moved to the States. You know how it is. Mm-hmm. They just kind of, you know, because I won't lie, even with me and my husband, we haven't officially attended church with the kids because of COVID in a long time.
Yeah.
And even before then, you know, my husband was always particular about big crowds and so on and so forth. So even us, we kind of started becoming that, watch TV online family, you know, watch church online family, you know. And so I feel like I was born kind of into like normal church, kind of, you know, just I would say the average normal African that goes to church, max attendance, but nothing crazy. During the week we did what we wanted. It was when I think I turned about 8, 9, I noticed a lot of changes in my dad. You know, he started being very diligent about us reading the Bible and stuff like that. But I found that it was a personal conviction for him. Do you understand? Yes. And I felt he experienced a peace and a change that, you know, was life-changing for him. And it benefited him. And the reason I'm saying this, and I'm not implying selfishness, I'm implying that knowing Christ and having the ability to share and carry your children along are two different things.
Yes.
And I believe that he had the best of intention, but unfortunately, it now came across as religious. Religious. It was now all of a sudden we can't wear earrings anymore. Yeah. All of a sudden we can't, you know, and it was Seventh Day Adventist, even, you know, so it wasn't that he went back to CNS. He now became a Seventh Day Adventist Christian. And so, you know, we kept the Sabbath. And, you know, but for us, all we knew, because there was no understanding behind it, you know, it was just no TV. It was just God is a mean guy. The guy doesn't want anyone to have fun. You know, everything was dry. And, you know, I remember Saturday evenings, everyone is going to the window. Has the sun set yet? Can we turn on the TV? You know, so I went with a recognition of, oh, if you love God, you'll do this. If you love God, you'll do this. If you love God, you'll do this. If you love God, do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I do.
It became like a bit religious. And then we now was in a really good school where I think academically I was thriving better. I think I was doing better in that school, and I think that I had more opportunities. But my dad now transferred us to a Christian college.
Okay.
Which at the time it was okay, but you couldn't compare the standard. And this comes back to, I could have stayed in that school if your worry was about me knowing Christ. Could have known Christ personally and thrived in that environment. Do you get because it was environment. To this Christian school, and I would say the standard went down a little bit, but it was still okay. And the truth of the matter is, I learned religion.
Okay.
I learned religion at the school.
What do you mean by that?
I learned that you need to pray, but I was not taught what prayer was. Do you understand? If people truly break down what it means to pray, you will never stop praying. Because you have such an understanding of its life source and the vibe that comes through communion with God. But I was just taught to pray. I wasn't taught what prayer was. And a lot of misreadings, if you don't keep the Sabbath, you won't go to heaven. That we are working to make heaven. There was no peace in your heart that, oh, I'm loved by God. It was always a question for me whether or not I was going to heaven. From there, you know, I graduated. And to be honest with you, after I got baptized there, I found like through 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, it was in and out. Sometimes you go to choir, sometimes you go to camp meeting. You know, it was in and out. I was still in a Christian. Because, you know, guess what? You start to see the reality of people's lives and start to realize that, wow, is an adult and serving God, but they're wicked. They're even for me, it almost made me feel like I thought this God was supposed to make your life better. Why are people struggling financially? Why is this happening? You know. So I graduate from there and I move on to uni, Seventh-day Adventist uni. Okay. That is where I equally learned. This is where I learned the highs and lows of following God. You know, when you have that Holy Ghost ginger, you know, everybody is on God, everybody is in choir, everybody is in camp meeting, but eye service at the end of the day to a certain extent, because once again, there was not much understanding behind it, not much development of the leaders. It's not to say a bad thing, it's just a hindsight thing. Yeah, because when I was you are really elevating, you are doing well. And, you know, also, I didn't see, all apart from myself in that school, almost everybody was on student loan. Almost everybody was working to pay their bills. And all that. And I was just like, oh God, are your people supposed to be poor? And I don't mean that with any disrespect. But I mean, I was like one of the few people whose parents paid their school fee. I just worked because I had extra money. And and working for your schedule, if you have to be at work by 2, you make sure your assignment is done by this time, because you're not going to get out of work till 7 and you don't want to come back home late to start doing, you know. So it started teaching me structure, you know, myself. And I feel like I go in and out of high and low moments with God. Sometimes I would be so on fire, other times I would be down because I didn't know him. And this is what I always tell people. You can grow up in church your whole life and be totally lost. Because if the people who are teaching you also don't know him in a certain dimension, they can only do what it is that they know.
They know, yeah, exactly.
So was introduced to religion. I was introduced to judgment. Mm-hmm. Do you get? I was introduced to grace. Mm-hmm. What I wasn't introduced to was, as I'm struggling with this subject, when we pray about it, it was very much, let's pray about it and let God's will be done.
Mm-hmm.
It was not in my understanding that, of course, it was God's will for me to pass this test. Of course, mm-hmm. it was God's will for me to be successful in what it is I was doing. And I changed my concentration in school 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went from one thing to another until I felt comfortable. And I feel like that is when I recognize him now as the Holy Spirit, but because I didn't know the Holy Spirit, I didn't know that that was him. My uncomfortableness, you know, in subjects in school was him saying, no, Sharon, this is for you. And, you know, for me, my own genius from God is very streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
My own is very simple. Jesus, so I'm not all any. Well, once people start coming with complicated things, I just understand that's not how God and I work. Mm-hmm. That's not how my own brain mm-hmm. processes things. You know, so mm-hmm. even if I had made the mistake of going into business class, or even though I'm a business person now, for business or medicine, I would have failed woefully mm-hmm. because I have emotional intelligence to understand that that's not how my brain works.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean I'm dumb. Mm-hmm. That God didn't create the doctor.
Mm-hmm,
do you
mm-hmm,
kind of understand?
Yeah.
What I've gotten through it, I would have suffered through it
mm-hmm.
because it's not how organically my brain works. So when I got into marketing and things were just flowing naturally, I just realized, okay, cool. You have a talent for certain things, and that thing that you're good at, you're really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get, as opposed yes. to trying to be good at everything, still didn't know God, but God was with me.
Mm-hmm.
I went to uni at 16. I graduated youngest in my class
wow.
at 19, 1 year early, mm-hmm. and I changed my concentration 5 times.
Whoa.
In fact, as I'm talking about it, I'm starting to see that God's grace upon mm-hmm. my life was crazy. You know, I came to Nigeria after that at 19. And I was in Nigeria for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I started going to church. I was on the choir and I was doing a lot of churching as I was enjoying it. But I also realized I was doing it to make my dad happy.
Mm-hmm.
Giga, I was like, living a double life.
Yeah, I
would go to the club Friday night, mm-hmm. sneak out, come back in the morning, wash my hair because, you know, the smoke and all that. By 10, 11, I was on the choir
wow.
singing.
Wow.
Afternoon, all through. And I just was like, Sharon, this life is very, very interesting
mm-hmm.
that you are living. But I still, it was a very touch and go, you know, mm-hmm. period. Then I went to the UK for my master's.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. I can just say God's grace in and out. I would go to church sometimes. I would, when there was wahala, I would pray. When there wasn't, just basic, taking the pace, basically, you know, mm-hmm. when it comes to. And there was a time, I would say when I got back from my master's, there was this guy that was saying, yeah, there was this guy. And I can see the ring. I was trying to lock it in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was hitting every Bible study with mom. I was the perfect wife.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And I was doing, and as much as, and the funny thing is, you can use your own dumb reason for following God, but God will still let you get some things out of that experience.
Ooh, that's a word.
So, you know, cut a long story short, it was the same hanging out with the mumsy that made me even find out the guy was even getting married to somebody else.
Oh,
trust
God.
Me, it was. It was a mess. And so, you know, then I realized God actually cares about your heartache as well,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Because I was really taken aback. I was heartbroken. I was sick. And, you know, these are the things that, you know, through my platform, I really want to start to address
mm-hmm.
because God cares about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was in that experience that God let me know that he cares.
Mm.
Because he first of all covered me from my parents really finding out how bad that situation was.
Mm-hmm.
He also saved me because I had given this person a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
He was able
to help me get money back, because women, let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You find yourself in situations where maybe you are taking advantage of a guy, but do you know that this thing can stop you from serving God?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't recover properly with him,
mm-hmm.
do you get? Because while you get another guy that doesn't do this thing that he did, this guy might be doing worse in another way, mm-hmm. but you're just trying to heal that wound. So that was the first time I started healing with God.
Mm-hmm.
And guess the first thing was, it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't. It was not a, I prayed and I woke up the next day and I was strong. No way. I cried, and I cried like a fool, and I cried like a bastard, and mm-hmm. I cried again and again. But what I realized was that as I was crying, I was getting more conviction as to why this person is not good for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And eventually, I got so strong that, you know, the guy would come in town. If he texts me, I'm hungry, oh. I would just look at the text and just be like, this guy is a joker. He even mm-hmm. dropped things for me, dropped it back in his house. That's when I realized you can actually get strong with God. Mm-hmm. You can go through pain with God and you can get over it. So after that, you know, I think around the age when I felt I wanted to get married was another reason to start mm-hmm. worshiping God. So the issue I'm having here and the consistency is, the fellowship is not for fellowship's sake,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which is what it could be, because that is what we're created for. So my point mm-hmm. is, if you're in fellowship, in fellowship, in fellowship, in fellowship, and then something happens,
mm-hmm.
and as we're fellowshipping, ah, God, do I have this problem? Not ignore, do what I want.
Yeah.
Shall I have, problem has now ended, you now run back to God. And that was basically the dynamic I can say I was in between wow. the ages 23 up until maybe 30 even. Yeah.
Wow. It's truly 30. A process that we go through.
Yeah. You know, and what is it was very, I would come in, learn some things, get conviction about that stuff. Come in, learn, because the problem was I was trying to sprint my relationship with God instead of marathon it. Do you get to find rhythm so that you can keep on going forever? So that really might mean walking a while. Do you get? But there's some people like, if I walk after about 15 minutes, I must jog. There must be some kind of, so guess what that means? I've built up stamina for that.
Yeah.
Because I stopped. You understand? I went to work out every so I now the next major thing that God does, because God will keep on doing big things, surprise you. But the problem is when you don't take that as an opportunity to reconnect and keep on going. That doesn't mean the surprises are going to be every day, but at least the advantage of walking with the Holy Spirit can prevent so much pain, so much loss, so much drama and all. So I had my, I now wanted to get married. And after I'd met this other person, I think I dated a few other guys. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, well, while they were better than the previous person, it was still one disappointment. Because guess what? My value system is rising. What I was ready to tolerate at 22, I'm not ready to tolerate at 25. By the time I just hear that sounds the way I feel like I'm already withdrawing myself, because maturity will let you calculate a few steps ahead and say, listen, this guy is saying this now. What he means is this.
Yes.
The I met at a wedding, we liked each other, things were flowing. But I just noticed the guy doesn't call. He doesn't pick up his phone, he calls, he's having one thing or another. So one day he called me after about a week of chatting, and I said, do you know what, this is our last conversation as far as dating. You want to call me to say what's up, but honestly, I don't even want you to call me to say what's up right now, because I like you are just chasing me to get me back in to go back to this. You have shown me who you are. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work for me.
So, and Sharon, right there, isn't it funny how women ignore that? The beginning signs of relationships will determine what will happen in the middle of it. Or what will lead to.
It seeps into marriage, which is why for me, when I see single people, when I see young people, I'm always like, you guys, take hold of this opportunity to know who you are in Christ, to know what your standards are, what your non-negotiables are, what your requirements are, so that you don't find yourself in a space, do you understand, worried, lost, and knowing what's going on. So anyway, I eventually ex a lot of people. And one thing I'll tell you is I dedicated myself to God in that season. Whether it's because I wanted to get married, whether it was, I think I was just broken, to be honest with you. I think I was so heartbroken. I was so disappointed that, you know, I really thought, this person was the person for me, you know, all sorts of things, you know, and people might say, I'm only a guy, but some people who are thriving in every other area of their life, you know, when they don't have that partner, when they don't have that person, at that time, I wasn't matured enough to understand that there was so much more to life than marriage. So much more to life than dating, that this is just one piece of the thing that God wants to add on to me. Do you get it? It is not my primary purpose in life to be a wife. It is not my primary purpose to be a mother. Some people might disagree with me, but I believe that because if it was, God would not tell you when you get married to leave your mother and father. Because what essentially saying is your mother and father will have their own things doing, as equally you two will have things doing. So, you know, I am happy that by the time I met my husband, I was very single and happy. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Very happily single. So even this, and this is where the speed thing happens with God. I find that when I've even forgotten about the issue, when I've thinking about that thing, when I stop praying about it because it is settled in my mind, and I start to recall to my mind the goodness of God and focus on other things, that's when this thing starts happening, things start moving really, really fast, because you've now surrendered all of these things to Him. And that's what happened. Omo, I met my husband, 6 months later I was married, nine months later after that, 6 months later I was engaged, 8 months after the engagement I was married, 3 weeks after the wedding I found out I was pregnant. You know, it was so fast. Myself, I was just like, hello. You know, I didn't think I was wedding that much, to be honest with you. My husband was the one that was really, this is after like dating guys for years, that I'm the one chasing them, I'm the one doing everything. And I was just like, wow, when you put your focus on God, He can really help you. And the truth of that is, God has given me peace in my home, because he knows that I have a mandate on my life, and he knows that he has set me up to do many great things. And as this read Acts 2, you can't do good things if your home is not settled. There's a lot of women, lots of men that may never reach God's plan for their life because of who they choose to marry. Because like for women, I know so many women emotionally burdened by a man, meaning that the guy has the resource to help you, you even have the resources to help yourself, but you are so focused on what he's doing, who he's doing it with, how he's doing it, because you married the person you love. But my point is, you probably didn't love yourself, because if you did, you would have recognized some certain things. But this comes back to knowing who you are, get in Christ, and it's from a non, you know, judgmental place. So what I'll say is, while I had kids on and off, I was still going on and off. I would say when was my daughter born? 2018. I actually got a message from one of my pastors that God was like, listen, Sharon, you don't talk to me at all. You just zoned out, and you know, you're just, you know, and the truth of the matter is, I was just down postpartum depression was, you know, but see, the only way I knew how to access God was still in a religious way. Mm-hmm. So every time I come back to God, I would come back and, you know, I used to have a list of things I was praying for. And mm-hmm. I used to feel that I hit those things on the list mm-hmm. every day to remind God until it was answered. Mm-hmm. Do you get? Because I didn't know how to speak in tongues. Yeah. I just knew how to pray a little bit and I knew how to praise. Mm-hmm. And I found that when I prayed, I got a lot of solutions. But the truth of the matter is, if you do it in a way where you are making it like, I have to do this every time, I have to do this, you know, I have to do it like that. Like this weekend, I listened to a book, The God-Shaped Brain, which I'm halfway through, finish quiet time today. And then I didn't even read my Bible. And I was practicing on meditating. And learning to just be quiet and see what God is trying to tell me. You know, but the thing is, if you are religious about it, you will always feel like you are the one who has to be talking. You have to read 5 chapters of your Bible a day. You have to do your confession. You have to do this. And it's not sustainable.
It's not even real.
It's not sustainable. And so I went back to God with a genuine heart, but with a religious mind. Do you get? Because we didn't know any difference. So it was as the time was going, I had different, I've had a few mentors. And listen, one thing I've also realized is whoever is helping you is equally human. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I've had different mentors through different seasons. And I really want to promote that because since people are going to come for me for saying this, but we are not grandchildren of God. We are not grandchildren. Do you understand?
Yeah.
We do not, in fact, let me, while it's good to have a mentor, the problem is if you study the Bible, go and check it, go and check every king, you know, there's still something that within themselves and their own weakness, they might not tell you the right thing, or they might tell you based on what it is that you get that works for them. So that's why important for us not to get into this place where we now feel like we have to have a direct mentor. Do you understand? I'm even just looking for a Bible verse that the Holy Spirit had given me, and he basically said that, you know, you don't need anybody. I think it's 2 Peter, one of these, hold on, I'm going to find it now. I just really bring that up. Oh, 1 John 2:27. So I know it was 2:27. And 1 John 2:27. Hold on, sorry.
No, that's all right.
I was gonna have all these things ready, you know. So, you know, I had mentors, I had pastors that were praying for me, but you see, what happened was I started to make the mentors and the pastors my God.
Ooh, Sharon.
And I'm just keeping real, you know, it has been a very difficult and heartbreaking thing for me, because you do become very close and very dependent on your mothers in the Lord and your fathers in the Lord. But I've just decided that the only thing I have in the Lord is the Lord. Do you get what I'm saying? I think it's important, because this is why I'm talking about sustainability. It's not because you are in a course, it's not because you're taking a class or there's a 10 days fast, but what about your own independent walk? So for me now, right now, I feel desire to fast, and God is blessing, is giving me that desire, but he's also telling me, Sharon, you also know you have food addiction issues. You also know that if you fast now, you might binge when it's time to break the fast. Maybe fasting is not for you for now, until we do this food addiction. Can you see how it's my own
personal
thing, you know? So if you go to 1 John 2:27, it says, but you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. The Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches you is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. So for me, having gone through my experiences, what really, my dedication to Christ became gradual. Do you understand?
Yes.
My heart was always sincere.